Is that? Oh, no, okay. Don't worry. Don't worry. Thanks. Yeah. Sadio, yeah. Sadio, yeah. Okay, very good evening to all, eh? Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 10th of October, 2019, Thursday class. We are having double 10, which is Taiwan's National Day too, China's anniversary, and Taiwan also 10-10, double 10. So Thursday class. So now let us get ready for puja. Compose your mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you all can be seated and turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We shall chant the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami. Tetiampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Tetiampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Tetiampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tetiampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura meraya pamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now you chant the padipa puja. Ganna sarappa ditena dipena tamadang sena teloka dipang sambuddhang. Pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dopenahang suganghina. Pujaye pujaniyantang puja bacana mutamang Vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kasumena nena punnena matena ca hotu mokang Pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tatayati vinasa bawang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and to help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferred merged to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripaja. Buddhang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. Oh, okay. So we try to make some space for the tree to come in. Okay. Yeah. But make sure you are comfortable. Don't be too cramped. If it's too cramped, you can move to other place. Somebody can go up there. The stack is there. That is a very good seat. That one is very good, up there. Here also can. Okay. Yeah, so 1, 2, 3, yeah, just nice. Where is Danny going to sit? Oh, no, I mean up there. Up there. Oh, okay, going to wash over. Yeah, no problem. I thought you are sitting down there, you cannot see me. Okay, so you can just make sure you have a comfortable posture. Then relax body and mind. We will off the light so that we can have half an hour of silent inner awareness.
Chris and the friend, what's your name?
Oh. Both of you are new. Oh, okay. After this, we will give you some books regarding the meditation. So maybe tonight I will give you some simple instruction. You just listen. Then whatever you don't understand, later on you go back and read the book. Then you will understand. Yeah. Okay, we can off the light. For those who already know how to meditate, you can proceed. For those who are new, I think the two of you, you relax body and mind. Then maintain a quiet mind. Silent everything. Your body, you make sure the posture is stable. Means you can make sure your backbone is quite straight. Don't have to be very straight, but relax. Don't be tense. The key to meditation is relax. You cannot relax, you cannot meditate. But the danger of relaxation is if you are too relaxed, you fall asleep. So that is the danger. But when you understand, you will not fall asleep. Because you see the importance of training your mind, developing this type of mental training. Meditation is a form of mental training, but the type of meditation that we want to develop is after we train our mind to be in a state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness, we use it to develop wisdom. Some call it vipassana meditation, or insight meditation. You meditate to develop wisdom or insight, understanding or insight knowledge. The word knowledge is not quite correct, because when you insight into phenomena, what arises is wisdom, not knowledge. So it should be an insight, which is a wisdom. So for those who already know how to meditate, you just relax, silent everything, and allow the mind to settle down. You can recall, I always give you the very important advice. Meditation has to be done with understanding. Understanding means you must understand the mind. Every living being, we have a mind. And there are two aspects to mind. One aspect is the one that you frequently use. That is your mundane mind, your thinking mind. That one is the one that disturbs you the most, causes you the lack of peace. And there are reasons why it is that way. Well, according to the Buddha, if you have not developed the 5 spiritual faculties that will allow you to understand spiritual teachings, the mental hindrance, the opposite 5, will arise. And when they arise, they will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why you cannot meditate. So most people have problem with the thought. The thought that constantly distract them, that constantly arise and pass away. So this heedless thinking, or restlessness of mind, is the one that will disturb the meditator or the cultivator from realizing the inner peace, inner awareness, and inner mindfulness. Knowing this, what we should do is just relax, silent, and maintain awareness. If you do that, the mind will settle down and return to its original state before the thinking, before the stirring, before the reaction of mind. That is the second aspect of mind, your true mind. That's why to meditate is to just relax, maintain awareness, so that your true mind arise. Then when you can realize that, you are in the meditative state. Yeah, that is the mind that is without thought. It is just aware. The problem with most cultivators is, according to the Buddha, they have not developed the five spiritual faculties. That's why the mental hindrances are there. And if that is the case, they still want to meditate. So you have to develop a skillful means to help you to overcome the mental hindrance. So I will give you instruction on how to decondition your heedless thinking so that the five mental hindrances can be attenuated or temporarily keep at bay so that it will not disturb you. We call it the mind sweeping method. This mind sweeping method, followed by metta, is a very useful, skillful means. To do it is very simple. Just relax body and mind, silent everything, close your eye. You can maintain a straight backbone. Then feel, don't think, feel your forehead. Wherever there is any tension, tightness, or stress within, just relax it. Feel it soothingly. Relax, relax, and relax. Then you sweep your mind down to your eye muscle. Do the same. Relax into every strand of eye muscle that you can feel, especially your ciliary muscle after a tired day. Your eye may be quite tired through a lot of reading or working, looking at the handphone, computers, and all these things. When you relax into it, you will feel good. Relax into every tension, tightness, or stress within. Feel it soothingly. Relax. Then you move your attention down to your facial muscle. Do the same. Strand by strand as you sweep it down. Feel it soothingly. Relax. Then to assist you to relax further, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, there is joy. When there is joy, your eye muscle, your facial muscle naturally relax. That's how it can help you to develop the relaxation. Then this will bring about inner calmness. In order to develop the inner well-being, you have to radiate love or metta, loving kindness. So you follow what I recite to develop this metta. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. May too, be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May its body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. When you radiate this, you should feel it. When you say may I, you feel your body and mind, entire body and mind. Be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the inner well-being, the inner joy and inner happiness within your entire physical body and mind. Especially your physical body, each and every cell, feel it. Radiate the metta feeling of well-being and inner peace. You can repeat one or two times. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within each and every cells of your physical body and your mind. Then after that, may it too be free from all harm and danger. May its mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Then radiate this same metta to all your loved ones. May all my loved ones, including my parents, my brothers and sisters, my fellow Kayalamitas, my good friend, good neighbors, and all those whom I know, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May their body and mind too be free from all harm and danger, free from all suffering. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they always keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can read it, the same metta to all beings. May all beings within the vicinity of Subhangjaya, including all Kayamitas who are meditating with you, and all beings known and unknown, seen and unseen, within the house and vicinity of Brother Suyan and Mifong's house. May they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May their body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we will extend this metta to all beings within the whole of Subhangjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth. Then we extend it to all beings within our solar system, our galaxy, our Milky Way, and all beings within the entire universe or existence. May they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May their body and mind too be free from all suffering, both mental and physical suffering. Then may their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May their body and mind too be free from all harms and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now, your mind should be more quiet, more calm, more peaceful. There will be inner peace and inner well-being because you don't think. Then you come back to your facial muscle, again, relax body and mind. sweep it down to your neck, feel relaxed. Then your shoulder, feel relaxed. Hand, feel relaxed. Back to shoulder, feel relaxed. Then you move your attention down to your heart or your chest area. Silence everything and just feel. If you can detect any vibration or even your heartbeat, you should just silence everything and stay with it. Maintain awareness. Be aware of that activity of movement. If you are new, if you are still not sensitive, then never mind. You just feel and relax. Whatever tension, tightness or stress within you, just relax them. Feel them suddenly relax. Then you sweep your attention down to your stomach. Feel, silence everything and just feel. Then relax. Move it down to your abdomen. Feel, relax. Then your leg, feel, relax. Your buttock, do the same. Feel, relax. Then you can reverse this whole mind sweeping method from your buttock up. Feel, relax. Leg, feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Stomach, feel, relax. Then you can move it to your heart or your chest area. Silence everything and just feel. Then relax. Then you move it to your shoulder. And back to shoulder. Feel, relax. Then your neck. Feel, relax. Facial muscle, feel, relax. Eye muscle, do the same. Feel, relax. Then your forehead, feel, relax. By now, you should be more calm, more peaceful. The inner well-being, the inner peace will make you quiet, peaceful. But you need to anchor this mind. Otherwise, it will start to think again. So while the mind sweeping method combined with metta can help you temporarily overcome the heedless thinking, but you need to anchor this mind so that it does not become heedless again. So I will teach you another skillful means called anapanasati. Anapana is in and out breath, sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is to be mindful of your in and out breath. When you can do that, you will be calm, you will be peaceful. The mind will stay with the object of meditation, which is your breathing. Then you train your mind to be in the state of sati, mindfulness without thought. When you are aware, you cannot think. When you are lost in thought, you are thinking, because you are preoccupied with the thought process. So like you feel your forehead, now you maintain attention in front of your nostril. Then when the breath go in and go out, feel it. Just like you feel your forehead, feel. When you detect your in breath, then like the Buddha say, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Means the awareness and the breathing move as one without thought. Initially, if you are not skillful, not trained, you will not be able to do it, because you will come to realize split second the mind just wander off, like it's not your mind. It's completely beyond your control. This is because your mind is not in the meditative state. That's why it thinks a lot, it's heedless. It wanders off very fast. But don't worry. Every time it wanders off, bring it back to the breathing. Every time it wanders off, bring back to the breathing. So if you were to be patient enough, within a minute or two, maybe 3 minutes, you will be able to settle down. Then when you can settle down, you will experience a type of calmness, peacefulness called piti. Piti is a meditative peace that arises when your mindfulness stabilizes. So anapanasati is a very good way to stabilize your mind, to anchor your mind, so that it is always in the state of awareness. aware of your in and out breath. So this is the initial training. Then if you are skillful, as this piti, the spiritual joy or the spiritual calmness develops, relax into it, silent everything. Don't try to know, just silent. Then the awareness will develop, the awareness of everything that arises. Your mind state, when you are in the state of piti, your mind is aware. That's why breathing in aware, breathing out aware, experiencing piti aware, then relax and maintain awareness. Continue to do this training. Then as you become more skillful, your mindfulness will stabilize, your anapanasati will stabilize. Then you will experience long breath. Your breath is like longer, slower, because of that awareness, that sati. You experience the peace, the calmness, the piti. And as it become more and more refined, more and more developed, you will experience the next stage of calm, which is sukhang. Sukhang is blissfulness of mind. It's a more refined type of mindfulness. Sukhang, when you experience it for the first time, you feel very good. It's really blissful. You are in a state, a meditative state of bliss. Your body that experience it will feel very good. Sometimes you will experience the goose pimple and all those things, but in a very pleasant manner. Tingling sensation, all these are words, but the actual thing is different when you experience it. When this arises, continue to relax, silent, maintain mindfulness. Then even this state will come to pass. Piti and sukhang, they will come to pass. Then finally, the mind becomes very quiet, very still. That is the meditative mind. That is the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the silent mind without thought. You are just aware. Then just maintain the awareness. No need to do anything. Okay, I'll let you develop the training on your own. Then after that, when the 30 minutes is up, the alarm will go off. Then I will ring the bell 3 times. Upon hearing the bell, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness or awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. You need to stabilize your mind so that the mind enters sati. When mind enters sati, everything you experience is in sati. Then this mind state can help you to develop the daily mindfulness later on. Okay. you can slowly mindfully come out of meditation. Then the basics of the chanting book, we will chant the invocation to the devas, devara, dana. In this universe, and in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine or teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sadhammam Munirajas Sunantu Saggamokkhadam Dhammasavana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhammasavana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhammasavana Kalo Ayam Badanta
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Itipeso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijacarana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Tadeva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandittiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabo Venohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Yayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Yadidam Chattari Purisa Yogani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sakka Sangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakaneyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let's be respect Tripa Jam. Vedang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, y'all can be seated. Just relax body and mind. Then maintain some form of attention. We will continue with the second session. Usually second session is reporting of meditation, followed by whatever question you have. So anybody who wants to ask any question or report your meditation, you can raise your hand. Then we pass you the mic. Anybody? Or the light? Yeah, Suyan. I think Chin Hao need the light. Anybody wants to report your meditation or ask any question regarding meditation and the teaching? Nobody? Okay. Then we go through last Tuesday's short notes. You go to my Kaya Metta website. So I learned last Tuesday from Tammy how to look for that thing very easy. He said you go to my Kaya Metta website. Then the top part there are three dot buttons. Press on it. Then go to group media. Then there will be a page. Click on document. Then the first document is the Tuesday class that I just, Thursday class short note that I just sent out today. You open it. Oh. How come out the 24th of September? It should be the 3rd of October. Wait. I didn't load it. I sent email. So not inside here. So I have to load it first. You can't see. I have to go to my email. I haven't sent it out. Okay. Okay, I send it direct to you, so that you can see it. Okay. My Kaya Metta. Okay, I just sent over. If you have data, you should be able to open. Otherwise, you have to ask Suyan for the house Wi-Fi. Short note for Brother Teo's October 3rd, 2019, Thursday talk. Point number one needs to develop meditation with some basic understanding of mind. You must understand that we have two minds. Namely, the mundane mind and the true mind. The notes are still on the whiteboard also. If you want, you can go through with me afterwards. So this two mind is the basis of meditation. That's why in Mahayana, they say you have to start with mind. Sing Wei Gen Ben. So when you understand you have two minds, namely the mundane mind and the true mind, then you will know how to meditate. To live life, we use the mundane mind, which is responsible for all the arising of mind. Without wisdom, this mundane mind will become heedless and evil. It will arise the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then suffering will follow you, following Dhammapada verse 1. With wisdom born of right view, this mundane mind will arise all the right thought, right speech, and right action. Then happiness will follow you, like the shadow that never leaves you, following Dhammapada verse 2. Verse 2. This one I will amend it. Point number 2. It is important to understand who are you, or who you are, what you are, and what that self nature is all about, and that all things arise from the self nature via the mundane mind's creation. Understanding the two type of mind is essential. First type is the mundane mind, or we call it your thinking mind. The second type is the supramundane mind, or your true mind. Some call it the self nature, the Buddha nature. Then, as cultivator, we call it the silent mind, and that is your meditative mind. The reason why most people don't understand how to meditate is because they only know the mundane mind. This mundane mind is dependent originating, arises depending on condition, and mainly due to memory. Without memory, the mundane mind cannot arise. However, when you are able to realize your true mind through meditation, you will come to understand that this one is different, because this true mind is beyond thought, beyond mind. And this self nature is inherent in all beings. Means all beings, the moment you are born, that self nature is within you. But most people cannot understand because they can't locate it. They don't know what it is too. Without thought, there is only the awareness nature within. You must realize this in your meditation. Without thought, who are you? This is the most profound inquiry. Without thought, who are you? Now I ask you this question. Without thought, who are you? Louder, I can't hear. Oh, of course, without thought is a silent mind. That one everybody knows. But I ask you the question is different. Without thought, who are you? You are not the silent mind, understand? Who are you? Correct. Conscious being. But what do you term? Is there an entity that you can call?
Awareness.
You say you are the awareness, you are wrong again. Because the awareness is not you, understand? You have to understand. How do you know that you are what you are? Which means you are referring to your form and mind, right? Like, how do you know you are Adam? It's because you arise a thought, isn't it? The thought through memory knows that you are Adam. Then your friends, your colleagues also know you through thought, Adam. But without thought, there is no Adam. There is nothing, understand? Where there is no concept, no word. That's why when you meditate, when you are in that stillness, silence, you will understand what that means. In between, now you understand, that thing without word, it cannot conceptualize anything. The moment you conceptualize, that is your thought. The question is, without thought, who are you? How many of you have seen my Facebook? Go in and see what I write in my Facebook. The first sentence I write is what? I am nothing. You go and check. Without thought, tell me, read out to them. Go to the Facebook and key in Brother Teo or Teo Kengkun. Then see my profile. First thing I write there is, I am nothing. I am nobody. Now you understand. Without thought, you are nothing. Why are you nothing? That is not a thing. You cannot label. You cannot conceptualize. You cannot use word. That's why meditation is very deep in its meaning. I always share you all, realize your true nature. Meditate until the silent mind arises. Means when there is no thought, you are just aware. In that state, who are you? What are you? That nature is aware. But do you know that nature cannot come out? You will know, isn't it? When you are in the meditative state, isn't it? True or not? By now you still don't know this. Difficult. Very difficult. Who come out? The thought come out. Very good. Only the thought can arise. Understand? That's why mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. That is your mundane mind. That is not your true mind. Without thought, that is your true mind. That is your true nature. Only now I can go into this. Otherwise, you all cannot follow, I tell you. That's why all the sharing, the teaching, they have to come in stages. It's not to say I don't want to move fast. If you move too fast, hardly anybody can follow. So now is the appropriate condition. So I come back to the point where we were. I think we were at point number 3. Okay. However, when you are able to realize your true mind through meditation, you will come to understand that this one is different. Because this one is beyond thought and beyond mind. And this self-nature is inherent in all beings. All of you have it. But you never understand what that thing is. That's why you cannot do it in the meditation. You cannot realize it. Without thought, there is only awareness nature within. And that one is not a being. That one cannot come out to live life. Because that one is not you. Not a permanent, unchanging entity. It's just that nature, the awareness nature within. It is just a suchness nature within, not a being. So it cannot come out and live life because it is not you, nor is it a being. But this is the nature that can awaken, understand truth, and realizes enlightenment. From this self-nature, everything arises through the mundane mind's creation. Clear enough or not? Right until so clear, still not clear now. Oh, then it must be crystal clear and clear. NG, yes. Yeah, NG, yes. Wait. Continue in NG, yes.
So thoughts will be a tool by the true mind to live life.
Yeah, you can say that, but You need to develop the understanding. Because when you understand you have two minds, then you need to realize them. The first mind, mundane mind, no need to know, because you have been using it for so long, understand not? But you don't know that the user behind is very important. So who is the one that used the thought? Who is the user? Who is the user? You say thought itself, then that is the deluded one, understand not? The egoic one. But what is important is you come with a form of mind. Yeah? This human being, okay, you got a physical body, you have a consciousness. So you come with this. And this one, you need to meditate to realize the true mind. That's why this is basic understanding. Xing Wei Ken Pen. If you understand that you have a mundane mind, which is the thinking mind, everybody has, very clear. You only need to realize the true mind, the supramundane mind, the self nature within. From here, everything arises. See it in the meditation, not through concept, knowledge. What I tell you, no use. See it in the meditation. See how the creation arises. How from that silent, that true nature, all mano arise. Mind make are there. That's why the Buddha in the first two Dhammapada verse, opening statement, he teaches this. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, all things arise. So mano is your mundane mind. Your dependent originating mind, condition arising mind. Without that nature, without the memory, mano cannot arise because there is no content to go in. This you need to understand. So to live life, you need this, like you say. You need this. But the user of thought of the mano or the mundane mind is very important. Who is the user? The form of mind, before it is enlightened, it is deluded, egoic. So this one cannot use it. That's why before you are enlightened, the spiritual faculty are not there. The mental hindrance are there. The egoic mind is there. The evil roots are there. That's why the normal puttujana, non-enlightened being, they technically cannot live life. They always arise a wrong thought. Wrong speech, wrong action, right according to you. That's why with that, you cannot practice right thought. All the practice is through knowledge from the thought. And these are not the real one. The real one is through the silent mind, the true mind, the awareness. Just now I wrote there, what did I wrote there? The silent mind, the true mind? Read again. Read to me. That one can awaken. Remember? That one can realize the truth. Can insight into phenomena. That's why meditation, you use the true mind. You cannot use thought. You cannot use the mundane mind. This thinking mind is basically thought. This thinking mind is basically thought. And what are you trying to meditate to realize? A state which is? A state which is beyond thought and beyond mind. So how can you use thought to meditate? You can't. So to meditate, you need to use the true mind, the silent mind. Where this is the one without word, without knowledge, without concept. It will insight into phenomena. It will just awaken and understand. Well, it is aware to see things as they are to awaken. When you cannot see things as they are, how can you awaken? Do you understand? When you see things according to your views, opinion, and conditioning, which is your memory, there is knowledge. Can you see that? So this 3rd of October, last Thursday, short note is very good. This one I need to edit it, otherwise the original version come completely different from this. So I will read to you again, then you understand. So this one is point number 3. Point number 3, I read to you again. Point number 3 is quite long, which is very good. Understanding the two types of mind is essential. First type is the mundane mind or the thinking mind. Now you understand, huh? The second type is the supramundane mind or your true mind. That self nature. Some call it the Buddha nature. Some call it, especially cultivator, call it the silent mind or the meditative mind. The reason why most people don't understand how to meditate is because they only know the mundane mind. This mundane mind is dependent, originating, arises depending on condition. However, when you are able to realize the true mind through meditation, you will come to understand that this one is different because it is beyond thought and beyond mind. And this self nature is inherent in all beings. Like I told you, the moment you are born, all living beings, the self nature is within you. But because you don't know, you don't understand, that's why you can never touch it or never realize it. That's the reason why you can meditate and you cannot awaken. It is just, sorry, there is another sentence before that. Without thought, there is only the awareness nature within. That's why just now I asked you, without thought, who are you? You have to realize that in the meditation. It is just a suchness nature within. That nature is not a being. That's why not even your form and mind that you use thought to identify. So it cannot come out and live life because it is not you, nor is it a being. That's why that nature cannot come out. But that nature is able to insight into phenomena, awaken. But this is the nature that can awaken, understand truth, and realizes enlightenment. From this self nature, everything arises to the mundane mind's creation. That's why from that self nature, everything arises. Huineng, he heard from the fifth patriarch, the Diamond Sutta. He straight away understood deeply. He came to great awakening through what? Through saying this few words. He spoke back to the fifth patriarch. He said, how amazing is it that the self nature is complete by itself? That the self nature is so beautiful. Everything arises from the self nature. He used that word. All dhammas arise from that self nature. That's why he came to understand that. And it is so beautiful. We are all creations start from there. Your mundane mind come from there. Without that, it cannot arise. You remember I teach you how do you create thought? From the spacious awareness, which is your oneness nature, your true nature, you shrink it. The awareness, you shrink that pure awareness to a tiny small space. The place where you want to perceive, like the Buddha image or whatever you want to perceive. You shrink that consciousness, then you input the content of consciousness through your memory, your views, your opinion, and your conditioning. And it becomes a thought. That's why thought is limited. Because of that small space. Whereas your spacious awareness, which is the oneness nature, is so different. That one is the oneness nature, so immense. So with this understanding, we can understand meditation very easily. That's why I didn't rub off last Thursday's note. It's still there for you to see. So So the revision is very easy. Coming back to Angie's question, well, I ask you, you were correct when you say so we have to use this thought, which is the mundane mind. Because this form of mind is a vehicle and a tool. The physical body is like a vehicle that takes you around. The mind is a tool. This is your mundane mind, your conscious mind. So you have to use this. So who use this? Just I explained, if the mundane mind, before this form of mind is enlightened, it is deluded. Yeah, it has not awakened. So you have to meditate using the true mind. Then like I explained inside there, through the direct seeing, you awaken. You insight into phenomena, the three universal characteristics. Then you develop the understanding. The understanding is wisdom. That's why I draw here. Wisdom. When you awaken through the meditation, this wisdom or understanding is connected to the form of mind. That's why this form of mind will know this is not you. The physical body, the consciousness, the two aspects of the form of mind is not real. Because they are dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. It's not a permanent unchanging entity where you can cling onto, hold onto, and grasp onto and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, I can own all these things. All this can be mine. No such thing. That's why the Buddha's teaching of anatta, the non-self nature, empty nature existence is very profound, very deep. So this wisdom that is connected is the one that acts. Understand? That's why it will act according to wisdom, which is here. Acting according to wisdom is true action. Whereas if you act according to memory, it is not acting at all. Do you understand? What is memory? Accumulation of experiences, good and bad. And within the memory, you have a lot of negative memories, psychological memories, your fear, your phobia, your insecurity, your scars of memory, your craving, your desire, your egoic mind, your lust. All these things are inside there. Whatever mundane experiences you accumulate inside there. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. You are acting according to your fear, your phobia, your delusion, your insecurity, your scars of memory. And all this has the evil root. Fear is an evil root. Phobia is an evil root. Whatever that you fear, your insecurity, your scars of memory, all these are evil root. Your selfishness, your craving, your desire, your attachment, things that you hold on to through your self-delusion, all these are evil root. Then your emotional negativity, sadness, sorrow, lamentation, all these are evil root. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. So you have to act with what? Acting according to understanding or wisdom is true action. That's why before you develop this wisdom, you cannot act. Technically, you cannot act. So wisdom got two phases. The easiest one is, the Buddha say, constantly listening to the true Dhamma. What type of wisdom is that? Sutta Panya, wisdom born of listening to the sutta. That is the easiest first turning wisdom. And that you will have. Even though it's not penetrative, but at least that one helps, the initial wisdom. Then when you reflect on it, contemplate into it, inquire deep into it, you develop the second stage of wisdom, Chintamaya Panya. Wisdom born of constant reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the truth that the Buddha has proclaimed. Why did the Buddha say this? How can I understand this? Then when you are able to reflect, contemplate, and inquire deep, you will stabilize the understanding that you heard. And after you stabilize it, you can assimilate it into your nature. That's how it becomes a more stable wisdom. And we call this the initial wisdom. It is called the initial wisdom because you need this to start the cultivation, to understand the basis of mind. And how this mundane mind, according to the Buddha, is responsible for all things. Because mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. So Dhammapada verse 1 is for who? When you act, speak, and think with a heedless mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, what will follow you? Suffering will follow you. And that type of person is heedless and deluded. Understand or not? The second type is what? If you know the danger of heedlessness, you will act, speak, and think with a heedful mind, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then, happiness will follow you, like the shadow that never leaves you. So, Dhammapada verse 2 is for those with the initial wisdom to act. Do you understand? But when you awaken, you will know how to act. It's no longer Dhammapada verse 2. When you awaken, the wisdom is there. That's why the wisdom will protect you. So just now, Angie, your question is it right that we use this mundane mind to live life? It's correct. But when you are not awakened, you cannot use it. Because every time you use it, you get into trouble. That's why you have to develop the initial wisdom. Then later when you awaken, you will know how to act. You will know how to live. You act with right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, following noble eightfold path. And the whole teaching is the same. Throughout the last 10 years that I was here Thursday class, I teach the same thing. But it takes 10 years for it to really sink down. But now it is very, very clear there. True or not? You need to really understand it, otherwise you cannot correctly cultivate. You are wasting your time. You are being gullible. People tell you do this, do that. You go and do. Then you listen to all sorts of funny Dhamma. Then you think, wow, oh, this is very great, that is very great. Then you try to apply them. But you find out for yourself what is the result. Without this understanding, you are wasting your time. Like Bodhidharma said, you are being superficial, cultivating superficial Dhamma, thought-based Dhamma, not the real one. The real one awakens and liberates your mind. Free you completely. Can follow? Yeah? If you are still not clear on why, you better ask. Yeah? Because this one is very good. Last Thursday one. Yeah? So we only up to note 3. Yeah? Now we go on to the note number 4. It is important to reflect on the host and the guest analogy. The host, which is the awareness nature within, is always there. True or not? When you meditate, you will know that nature is always there, whether you are aware of it or not, depends on your stability of mindfulness and awareness. That's why without sati, you are lost in thought, you are heedless, and you cannot understand truth, because you are not with the true mind, not with your self nature, your true nature within. So this part is very important. The guests are the 6 external sense data, whereby upon contact with mind, all their respective sense door consciousness arises. The guests come and go, whereas the host always stay. Remember this. It does not come nor go. Because that one is not a being. It's a nature that is always in that state. Awareness, nature within. Remember, you are the host. You are aware of all the guests' movement. And with awareness and wisdom, you can make use of them. That is what NG's question is all about. With mindfulness and wisdom, you can make use of them and stay above them, means not deceived and deluded by them. Because your wisdom will prevent you from being deluded or deceived by them. But without the understanding that you are the host, you can be deceived by all the guests and their complaints, etc. And you get yourself sucked into the whole chaotic situation of life. That's how living beings suffer. However, when you understand that you are the host, you do not get involved. Do you understand why you don't get involved? Because it has nothing to do with you. Do you understand? Do you really understand? You want to understand, huh? Because I know most of you cannot understand. What did I say? You are the host, it has got nothing to do with you. True or not? You think the host like you are so kipoa. Huh? Want to do this, want to do that. Oh, this one my friend, I must take care of him. That one belongs to existential world. The law of karma recognizes that one. That's why you have right duty. Understand? The enlightened disciple of the Buddha has right duty. Samichi, Patipanno, Bhagavato, Savaka Sangha. Ah, that one pertains to what? The five aggregate of form and mind. That one, the form and mind got a duty. But the host got nothing to do with it. Understand or not? That's why that one will not suffer. That one will not do anything. But that one with the wisdom connected, it know how to tell the form and mind. Do you understand? To act. And because it's connected to the wisdom, it's not deluded, it cannot be deceived by the sense data, by what people say, by what people do, by what is happening to the world. You understand? Then how can you suffer? Who suffer? Nobody suffer. But the thought is no longer deluded. But the user of thought has the wisdom already, the understanding. That's why the host is the most important. But it's not you. But that one is a nature. The eternal nature can never die. Understand? Then why you have so much fear? Fear of the unknown. Fear that the ghost will come after you. Fear of your own shadow. You know what is fear of your own shadow? At night, suddenly the dim light on. Then you saw the shadow. You thought somebody behind you. Or somebody following you. Who fear? The thought fear. Thought is not you. Understand? You are that nature. You don't have a physical body. You cannot die. Understand? Even the ghost come, you can hello to him. How are you? Use the form and mind and talk to him. Fear of what? That one never die. Understand? That one is the eternal nature. That's why you become so different. You become without fear. Without fear is not fearless, no. Understand? Fearless is different, no. Fearless means you don't want to have fear. Without fear means fear has been rooted out. Do you understand? That's why the whole understanding of Dhamma becomes so different when you awaken. It's not what you think, not what the holy book tell you, or what people tell you. So this part is it clear now? Yeah? If you are the host, always remember. You are host. You are afraid of who? Scared of your guest. Because that is the one that is always there, abiding within. Understand now? It never disappears. That is your eternal nature. That is your self nature, your true nature, your oneness nature. How can that one die? That is the one that can awaken, understand. That's why I wrote there in the note 2. When you live life, you use the mundane mind. When you meditate, you realize the true mind and use it to meditate. Otherwise, you are doing the opposite. What did human being do? They use the mundane mind to meditate. Understand? That before they awaken, they use the mundane mind to live life. That's why they are heedless. They have so much problem and suffering. And they cannot even understand the opening verse of the Buddha. Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. So, sing wei gen ben is very important. To understand meditation, you must understand mind. You must start with basic understanding of mind. And mind has two types. Your mundane mind, which is your thinking mind, which is basically thought and emotion. You understand? Then you have a true mind, supramundane mind, without word, without concept, without knowledge. That nature is just aware, finished. And this one, very few people can realize, can understand. That's why meditation is this. The latest video that Jin Hao sent out, somebody did that. What do you call that? Plug. Poster. It's like a camera. Sorry, photo frame on. No? Frame on. Huh? Poster. Small poster. I know, Miss Lee did. But then he missed out a few words. It's okay. That one we added in. Jin Hao managed to add in. So you see, when people understand, they will know what is meditation. Meditation is to silence your mind to be aware. Aware of what? Aware of the truth and the reality within the moment. And when you are aware, because it's connected, your nature is connected to your form and mind, you will be aware of everything that goes on within your form and mind. That's why all the essential Dhamma, everything, you will witness them, you will see them, you will awaken to them. And that is what meditation is. Nothing to do with all the method, technique, and nothing. If you understand this, you will progress. If you don't understand this, you can be wasting your time for very, very long. Yeah. And this is the part where hardly anybody understands. Everybody is interested in Dhamma. But the true Dhamma is without words. But after you awaken, you can reflect, you can contemplate. The word can come in, the concept can come in. Where you need words to share, to live life, to express the Dhamma. Where that is within the conditioned world. Okay? Clear? Good. Then we go on. Note number 5. Oh, sorry. Number 4, I didn't finish. Yeah, okay. I read. The host and the one. Then the guest. Okay, I have finished the chaotic situation on. However, when you understand that you are the host, you do not get involved. So now you understand this part. Similarly, when sense data come in upon contact, what happened? If you are silent, you can see the dependent origination. The whatever happening after contact of mind with the sense basis and the sense data follow the 12 link dependent origination, paticca samuppada. You will understand, for you can see them clearly, all the link. Then you will not be entangled in it. On the other hand, if you do not understand that you are just this true nature within, which is just being aware, not a being, then your egoic mind will arise to delude you. And what is the egoic mind? Your mundane mind, your thinking mind. That one take over. Then what happened? When you are just silent without thought, the true nature can insight into phenomena to awaken. This is what meditation is all about. Not what you have been told earlier on. all the doing, the noting, the focusing, the concentration, and all those things. Because if you do not understand this, you cannot meditate. You can be wasting your time. You can experience peace and calm, even the jhanic state. But find out for yourself, how can it help you develop wisdom to live life, to understand who are you, what are you. Without mindfulness, there is no chance at all. That's why mindfulness is being emphasized. The four foundations of mindfulness, the Buddha said, Ekayano Bhikkhave Bhikkhu. O monk, this is the only way for the purification of mind, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for realizing the enlightenment, for reaching the right path, namely the four foundations of mindfulness. And it's clearly stated in the sutta. So now you understand, without mindfulness, you don't stand a chance. The Avijja Sutta also says, the 10 steps you go and check, is all in accordance with his teaching. Then point number 5. Thus, meditation is just the silent mind being aware of what is going on within our former mind. To see the truth of dependent origination clearly, we are seeing things as they are. Clear or not? Clear until in words, so it's still not clear, means you are not reading, not reflecting, contemplating, and you are not trying to develop the understanding. Point number 6 is what? Mundane mind before enlightenment is? Read. What is that word? Like I explained just now, is that? Thus, it creates a lot of wrong speech, wrong thought, and wrong action. All wholesomeness or unwholesomeness arise via the mundane mind's creation. Reason why the Buddha under Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 say, mind is a forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, all good and bad arises, dependent on the user of such mind. If you act with a heedless mind, born of delusion, that is with greed, hatred, and delusion, suffering will follow you, like the wheel which follows the hoof of the cart. Therefore, wisdom is needed to use this mundane mind appropriately. Now you understand, huh? When you are heedful with wisdom to use this mind, you will train it to develop awareness and understanding, and you will then act according to wisdom with a wholesome mind, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then happiness will follow you, like the shadow that never leaves you. So this is all explained already. Point number 7. Therefore, it is important to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind, as advised by the Buddha. Act with wisdom, following Noble Eightfold Path, to be free of suffering. The use of thought is very important. That's why develop the first, second, turning, initial wisdom first, before you really use your thought. Then after that, go for the direct seeing, the turning wisdom. But don't be the gullible. When I say before you develop the initial wisdom, don't use your thought. Don't go and quote me. Brother Teo say don't use thought. You get yourself into trouble. You have to live life. You better use thought. If you don't use thought, you cannot even remember who your spouse is. How to go home. How you sign your check also you cannot remember. Then you go and quote me. Brother Teo say don't use thought. I'm not enlightened yet. That one is your problem. Nothing to do with me. Daily living, you can use thought, no harm, understand? But don't use it to act wrongly, understand? You have initial wisdom, you know how to act, isn't it? What is right thought, right speech, basic right, you know, isn't it? Without selfishness. That's why I learn to understand what constitutes evil. Expand on it, greed, hatred, and evil. When you expand on it, when you understand, then only you can be mindful of it. Otherwise, you don't know how to act. The evil roots are there also, you cannot see. And you say, I got right thought, no. My intention is very sincere one, no. But the egoic mind behind, you cannot see, you understand? Everything is for you. Not for you, you don't want to act. No advantage, you don't want to act. Not your friend, you don't want to be friend. You only want to be friend when you think he is your friend. Then when you meet Macau friend, how? You know who is Macau friend? The man from Macau. Why is Macau friend no good? Because Cantonese got a saying, no? Macau friend. You understand? What kind of friend is that? That's like Macau. But now I think you prefer Hong Kong. Hong Kong one not so friendly, they say. Point number eight. The five precepts are vital. You know why now? Vital because violating them constitute what? Major evil. When you violate them, it constitutes committing major evil. So with mindfulness and yoniso manasikara develop, the initial wisdom develop, there can be sense restraint to enable us not to violate the precept. Now you see the importance of initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara. That is step four, the initial wisdom. With the initial wisdom, only your daily mindfulness can settle down. Then you can develop sati sampajana, which is step five. That's why all these are related. Step one is to have Dhamma friend, you have. Step two is constantly listening to the Dhamma, you also have. Then from there you develop the faith. Step three, you also have. Step four, initial wisdom, most of you should have by now. So because of that, you only need to work on sati sampajana, daily mindfulness. Then meditate to realize the silent mind, the true mind, until mind enters sati. Then your daily mindfulness will stabilize. This is what you need to do in your cultivation. Point number nine. We should inquire who actually harm and kill. The person who harm and kill are violent people, selfish people, and deluded people with the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. This will lead to karmic downfall. And this is also the reason why keeping precept or sila is vital. Then you will have good condition, good mind state, and karmic support to support your meditation. With sila comes samadhi, leading to panya. Without sila, you have problem. Do you know why? Yeah? Your mind cannot settle down. Why? When you break your precept, you have a lot of restlessness because you violate every law, nature's law, even society's law also you violate. CBT, kill people, harm people, cheat people, deceive people, police case. Not only law of karma come after you, MACC also come after you, police also come after you. So fast? Somebody else alarm. I thought so fast, 10:30 cannot be, I only point number 9. So when you have so much problem in life, do you think you can meditate? Unless you are gifted from your past. But if you are gifted from your past, chances are you won't violate the five precepts. That's why there is no two way. If you violate your five precepts, means chances is your past is horrible. Understand? Yeah? You agree or not? If you cannot even keep your precept, I tell you, that is basic cultivation. No? Sila also don't have. How can samadhi kick in? How can you have the karmic support, the good condition and the good mind state? The evil roots will be there. The mental hindrance will be there. That's why you have a chaotic mind, restless mind, full of problem, full of doubt. You worry about everything. Then after that, you have to see doctor. You stress until your immune system go down. You got health problem. Then you got to see Jayanta. or your GP, or you go specialist center, and all this demand medical payment and fee, and this is your coming debt you have to pay. That's why when you are healthy, less problem, you got less coming debt. Point number 10. Oh, sorry, I didn't finish the last part. With sila comes samadhi, leading to panya. To refer to the brown transcript book on the essential Dhamma as taught by the Buddha for more detailed explanation. This book is the book based on the talk I gave at the house Dana in Klang, Nancy's house, and Sia, the late Sia. Nancy volunteered to do the transcript, and I say good for her. But that book is very good, very, very good. It also talked about daily mindfulness and all those things. So you still have one. Okay, give to Jayanta. That one is good for him. The rest can get it from us. We still have. You go and see Padmasuri, or you come and see my wife. She will give it to you. Now they still have. Good. Before have them. Number 10 point. The five aggregates of form and mind also has two aspects. First aspect is what? As a living being or human being for us. For our case, is the human being. We have a physical body, we have a mind. The mind, the Buddha subdivide into four more aggregates. But this mind, if you want to understand the four aggregates, you inquire, what can your mind do? It can give rise to feeling. It can perceive things, perception, aggregate. Then it can arise sankhara activity, mental states, mental volition, mental formation. All that your mind can do is the aggregate of sankhara. Then the last property of the mind is it can become conscious of things. That's why consciousness or vijnanam is the last aggregate. You can become conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. That is what mind is all about. And this way of explaining the mind is very, very beautiful, very profound, very deep, and very accurate. Not like in certain other type of religion where they explain. It's like very impressive. They tell you the 16 dimension of mind and all those things. But not so accurate. This one is the most accurate. Because basically there is only mind, nothing else. And mind, the two aspects you have to understand. When you understand the four aggregate really explain everything. That is the real happening. Other type of explanation, I leave it to you. You go and find out yourself. Because the way the Buddha explained is so beautiful, using the five aggregate of form and mind. Then the second aspect is, as a mental five aggregate of form and mind, which is the thought. So the aggregates of mind, there are four, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana. Then how did the form, the mental form, enter the mind? Through the aggregate of perception. When you perceive the external form, like the Buddha image, my voice, you perceive them, it enters your mind. That's why mentally, there is also the five aggregate, the five mental aggregates of form and mind. Basically, it's the pure consciousness and its content. The Buddha called it the Namarupang. That's why in the 12-link, Paticca-samuppada, dependent origination, the Buddha said, avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana, the pure consciousness. Then you input the content, vijnanam paccaya namarupam. That is the second aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind. These five aggregates of form and mind is subject to karma, always remember. Even though it's a karmically conditioned living being, but it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can cling onto, grasp onto, as the I and the me. Thus, it is non-self, but it does exist. To develop wisdom, you need to meditate with a true mind to awaken. Point number 12. In short, the whole law of cultivation can be summarized as follows. First is to follow the advice of the Buddha, avoid all evil, cultivate wholesomeness, and purify the mind, following advice of all Buddhas. Second is to cultivate and act following Noble Eightfold Path. Means with right view to cultivate right speech, right action, right thought, and the four right effort. This one is still basically thought. Yeah? The four right effort is still basically thought. Yeah? To abandon the wrong thought that has arisen, still thought. Then to right effort to prevent the arising of the wrong thought, is still thought. Then right effort to cultivate right thought, is still thought. Then the last right effort is to refine upon whatever right thought that you have developed and perfect them all. So that is still thought. Then after that, cultivate the five spiritual faculty. Yeah. So these five spiritual faculty, you have to cultivate them after that. Otherwise, you can do it together. Yeah? While you cultivate the four right effort, yeah, you cultivate them together. Then constantly listening to the Dhamma. Constantly listen to Dhamma, inquire and contemplate the Dhamma with a relatively quiet mind. There is a creative mind to arise the first and second turning initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara. This point number 2 and number 3, in fact all the first 4 points, they are very important. Then after that, the fifth one is to meditate. By then you can meditate to realize the true mind until mind enters the tea. Then cultivate the daily mindfulness and clear comprehension, sati sambhajana, leading to sense restraint. The moment you do this, up to step 5 you are home. Step 6, sense restraint is automatic. Then point number 13, to understand that things are just the way they are. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. There are causes and conditions behind all that happened. Thus, when things happen, you must not react, blame, or get angry. Then you can be at peace with the reality of the moment. Then with a clear mind, you can act. Then you can contemplate on what happened to resolve things amicably so that you can move on and not suffer. Noble Eightfold Path is the way to end all suffering. When you act with right view or wisdom, you will know how to utilize the mundane mind. So to resolve anything, you have to act according to wisdom, following Noble Eightfold Path. Well, Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation. When you have Noble Eightfold Path, there is no negativity, there is no wrong view, there is no delusion. The first power factor is right view. You will condition right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. So you will never go wrong. Then the four right effort will keep you on track of cultivation. Then after you finish your four right effort, sati come in, leading to samadhi. Then you will awaken. The spiritual faculties are completed. Okay. Point number 14. The realization of one's true mind is the what? Beginning of true meditation. So you think very easy, yeah? You have to realize this true mind, then only the real meditation start. Do you know? That's why last time I told you all what at the retreat. Not until your daily mindfulness is very stable and that you are heedful, able to be ever mindful in the midst of life, the real meditation haven't start. You remember? This is the reason. And the meaning is very clear. If you are not able to realize your true mind, how can you develop daily mindfulness? Sati sambhajana cannot come about. Your mind must enter sati. Means it must realize the silent mind, the true mind. Point number 15. There was an email question by a lady. I think her name is Jackie C. Yeah? I think she never come to Thursday class. Oh, but she said she heard my talk at SGBA, that August talk. Then he wrote to me. I also don't know how she come to know my email. I must have gone to the website. So this lady is very good. There was an email question by a lady on cultivating daily mindfulness. She described how while eating, she is aware of her mental intention to hold a chopstick, take the vegetable, open her mouth, put the vegetable into her mouth, start chewing, etc. Then I replied, "The above is okay," I told her. "But the more important aspect of the training is when your hand moves to hold the chopstick, you must be fully aware of that action and that hand movement. That is body and mind move as one without thought. That is sati, mindfulness. Similarly for the other activity and action like taking of vegetable, opening of your mouth, putting it into your mouth and chewing, etc. Just do." Listen to this sentence, "until you are just aware and most of the time without thought, then your mental chattering, your verbalization will be greatly reduced and you will become more and more quiet and just mindful or aware. When mindfulness is more and more continuous, it will stabilize. Then your mind is extraordinarily sensitive. And you can see many things which you never see before to develop the understanding of the essential Dhamma as taught by the Buddha and the understanding of who you are and what you are and how you function as a human being." The last sentence can understand that. Who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being. By now you should understand that. So I ask you, who are you? What are you? Can somebody come out and explain? Some of you should understand. The only thing is the understanding haven't stabilized because you seldom express it out or you seldom really reflect until very, very clear. How much time do you have? Oh, you know, not enough time. I got to finish off the notes. Remind me to explain some other day. Or you go back, contemplate, reflect, then next time volunteer, put up your hand. Hey, good for you. Because if you explain, you will learn. Then the second part. When she said, then pleasant feeling arise. Straight away she know, after she chew, before she really mindfully chew, she said, pleasant feeling arise. So I watch the feeling and contemplate it in mind. This feeling is impermanent, suffering and non-self. It is the same for all other feeling. All this awareness is very fast. She also know very fast though. But she never know that this is not awareness. This is the thought using knowledge to analyze, to develop the understanding. Well, who tell her all this? It's not through the realization of the silent mind awareness doing it. It is through knowledge, Dhamma knowledge that she used. So all this awareness is very fast. She know actually the thought move very fast. So I try to do it for everyday activity. Then I answer her. The above is what you are normally taught to do. You are taught to do it that way. Note what? Mental intention. Remember? Intention to eat, intention to take the chopstick, intention to open your mouth, put it in your mouth. That is not sati. Sati is the movement itself, the awareness itself. Then when he says she contemplate, that is not contemplation, that is Dhamma knowledge, true thought, evaluating, analyzing. Then you listen. The above is what you are normally taught to do it that way. But the real contemplation is very different. This is mainly doing it via Dhamma knowledge. What you should be doing is just silence your mind and maintain awareness. don't try to know. Can remember these few words or not? It's written here. Don't try to know. When you meditate, don't try to know. Who is trying to know? When the thought is active, are you in the meditative state? Are you aware of what is going on? That's why you can never get it right. Well, that thought is busy meditating, trying to be the meditator, and trying to know, is this what the book say? Is this anicchang? Is this dukkang? That's why she very fast. Impermanent. Feeling is impermanent. Then, suffering, when I attach. Non-self, because it come and go. You can quote people, quote the book, quote me, but there is knowledge. Do you understand? So what she failed to understand is this. That's later on she learned, which is very good. Oh, my one went missing. Oh, okay, I got it back. This is mainly doing it via Dhamma knowledge. What you should be doing is just silent your mind and maintain awareness. Don't try to know. The awareness will develop the understanding to awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, and anatta. By itself, without words, without knowledge or concept. Just do. After this training is developed, then only you can contemplate to stabilize the understanding. And it is not before. Do you understand? Before you realize it or awaken through the awareness, the silent mind, you go and so-called contemplate, that is your thinking, that is your Dhamma knowledge. You need to realize it, awaken. Then only you contemplate, that is useful. So this part is very important. Otherwise, it will become just Dhamma knowledge-based contemplation, which may not be effective. While chewing food, she knows the pleasant sensation, then uses Dhamma knowledge to relate why this is impermanent and non-self. This is not the way to cultivate. When aware, there is no word. Understanding will thus come, and then you can link back to the knowledge later on, not before. Then develop the silent mind and just be aware. Understanding will come by itself without you doing anything. After this, you can contemplate with a silent mind. Through your mindfulness, you can awaken. Not through knowledge, nor thought, or memory. Then my daughter, Brad Teo's daughter, did her cultivation differently. That is, when chewing, she inquired, how do I recognize this as a pleasant feeling? See? Her inquiry is, why did I label it as pleasant feeling? She inquired. She go deep into it. Then she also asked, what does pleasant means to me? Who taught me this? How I label it pleasant? Then the last one is, how did I learn this concept of pleasant and unpleasant, the duality? That's why she assumes she don't know. She find out. Then she realized it's her conditioning. She traced it back to her conditioning, born of memory. Her this style of questioning has helped her to discover and understand more deeply how she experienced the world while living life. She no longer relies on memory, understand not? The habitual tendency. But she finds out all this are due to conditioning, so she can see her own mental conditioning. How she become like that, how she react and stir her mind. It's not through her own understanding last time. Last time was hardly aware, hardly mindful, didn't know. Well, these are habits. Habitual tendency developed through what? Heedlessness, lack of mindfulness, lack of understanding. You don't know who are you, what are you, and who is doing all this. It's your views, opinion, and conditioning. It's not your understanding. That's why she developed all this through her own way of inquiry. The thing she now understands is very different from the knowledge she uses to have. In doing so, she becomes more aware of her life and her thoughts conditioning. it is important to develop the silent mind, the meditative mind, until it is very stable and sensitive, so that you are aware when there is any intention to or any stirring of mind via like and dislike, born of habitual tendency. Yoniso manasikara, or the initial wisdom, will prompt you that this is attachment, for thing is just the way it is. When there is condition for good food, you can have it. But when there is no condition, there is no suffering, because there is understanding. So this initial wisdom is very important. It will prompt you. Otherwise, you can get yourself entangled. So it's important to develop the silent mind or the meditative mind until it is very stable and sensitive, so that you are aware when there is any movement within. Your mind is very sensitive. Any intention to stir or react, or when you experience a sense experience, your mindfulness is so stable. That's why you cannot break precept. You cannot do wrong thing, because it's so sensitive. The slightest stress, you are aware. And you know this is wrong. You cannot do, because the initial wisdom is there. And you will straight away relax into it, silent. That's how you become different. You no longer act according to emotion, according to your wrong view, your conditioned thinking, no more. You understand things as they are, and you see truth. So this part is very important. Eh? Number 19. Bratio encourages Khayarmita to ask questions to create conditions for him to share. Don't be shy. Shyness is by the thought, not you. So this one, bear in mind. Realization of the unconditioned cannot be expressed in word, for it is beyond word and beyond thought. Words and concepts are only needed to express the Dhamma within the conditioned world. Hence, in the Heart Sutta is stated that in true emptiness, there is no four noble truth, no one born, no one die, or no one sick, and no one old, and there is no one to attain, because it is the unconditioned. But in the conditioned arising world, all such things exist. Example, there are living beings getting old, getting sick, and die. There is the law of karma, etc. The Aryan disciple of the Buddha has four unique qualities and conduct. They have good conduct, right conduct, wise conduct, and dutiful conduct. The one who knows does not speak or talk frivolously. They only speak with understanding and wisdom when there is condition to speak. To come to this existential world, you need a karmically conditioned five aggregate of form and mind. This is the vehicle and tool for you to come. Only with this form and mind can you realize your self-nature, true nature. All beings have this self-nature. The mundane mind is a consciousness trapped inside the physical body. It is for you to use to live life. Within this form and mind, near the heart area, there is a gateway to your self-nature. The nature cannot come out and live life. This nature is not a being and is non-self, because it is not a permanent, unchanging entity. This self-nature can develop wisdom, understanding, and awaken. When you realize self-nature and awaken, you will know, or you will understand, the form and mind is not you. It's just a causal phenomenon. The karmic force, rebirth consciousness, and physical body. When these three conditions come together, it will animate into a human being. Then when the heart is formed, this one is for the baby fetus, comes heartbeat and the karmic force. This then become a fully developed form and mind with all the senses while in the womb before being born into the world. Then there is one part I remember not captured here. I remember we talked about chewing, remember? Chewing. When you chew your food, straight away that lady, what did she tell you? She can be aware of pleasant feeling, pleasant sensation because of the food, understand? Who tell her that? It's the thought, understand? But did she really mindfully chew? If you mindfully eat and chew, you know what happened or not? Even the white rice, without veg, without anything, Ingbi, they all try before, that's why they also know. You just go back and chew if you don't believe me next time. Take the white rice. Don't put anything. Chew. Then finally, what happened? Because your saliva is an enzyme. Do you understand? It will break down the rice. And rice is basically carbohydrate, sugar, complex sugar. Then when you break it down, it becomes sugar, sweet. That's how you know. When you're mindfully aware, without words, don't try to know, you just chew. But you go back and try, don't recall through memory, hey, Brother Teo says sweet one. No. You look for the sweet one. You are not doing it anymore, do you understand? Then when you taste the sweet one, ayo, Brother Teo was right. You think you done it. You completely miss it. Understand? Huh? When you chew, just chew. Be aware. Be aware means what? Like you do your mind sweeping method. I say, aware, feel your forehead. Don't think. Understand? Huh? When you chew means just mindful of that process. No word. Do it. Without word is so different. The awareness that is aware without concept, without knowledge, forget about the memory when you do. Don't try to know. Just do. Then there is the real, pure awareness of what is going on. That is the reality. When you see also same, don't allow your memory and your brain to interfere with what you see. Then you have the direct see. You see things as they are. Without the word and the concept. Do you understand? I realize you all use your memory so much. Everything also you want to relate, you want to know. And who want to know? The thought want to know. Because you think by knowing you have knowledge. By having knowledge, you become very smart. But smart is not intelligent. That's why knowledge binds. Is in the Mahayana Sutta. You know what they call that? So zi zang. In Vietnam, right? Bama Suri, right? So zi zang. So zi zang. Everything that you know is an obstruction. Do you understand? So zi. Whatever you know, there is knowledge. There is nothing to know. Do you understand how Krishnamurti put it or not? He is even more direct. He said, the most dangerous person in this world is the one who say, I know. Can you understand? Huh? Why is that person dangerous? Sao Zi Zhang. Very good. Wow, you're writing nicer than Ying Biyan. So, compare again. Because this one is a school teacher, that one is a planner, not a school teacher, but also very good. So zi zang. Everything that you know is an obstruction. Knowledge bind. Somebody write, knowledge bind. Well, I need to explain 10:30 already. Write the English word. Knowledge bind, bracket underneath. When Krishnamurti say the most dangerous person in this world is the one who say, I know, can you understand him? Why he say that type of person is very dangerous? What's wrong with saying, I know? What is the correct word to use? You should say, I understand. Well, understanding is not rigid, understand? It's not a knowledge, understand? I understand, it means I understand. But when I say I know, what is there to know? All knowing comes from your thought, understand? And thought is knowledge. That's why perception of form is consciousness. And its non-perception is wisdom. That's why nothing to know. When the Zen master say, what is this? Table, you are gone already. You know already. You should say nothing. Because the true mind, when it see, there is no word, nothing. It's just as it is. So all of knowing is actually knowledge. That's why the most dangerous person in this world is the one who say I know. When he say he know, he cannot learn anymore. Yeah? He already know. So how to teach a person who already know? Before you can even share anything, he say, "Brother, I know." Or he will quote the Buddha, according to the Buddha. The highest authority, you know, the Buddha. How to go and challenge that authority? Or he said, no, brother, the Buddha never say this. Oh, cannot answer already. He quote the highest one. It's like he quote to you the number one officer of the MO1. How to answer? Cannot. But so far so good. Nobody say that to me. Don't be the first. So this is what I want to share and explain. Then we just finish it off. I think there's one last part. Oh, that page also gone. Okay, I'll open it back. Okay, point number 23. Oh no, we have gone. 24. Oh, finish. Oh, that is the last one. Oh, very good. So we end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So at least I cover the last Thursday short note. So not bad. So Thursday's, last Thursday short note is in fact very good, isn't it? Good or not?
Yes.
I don't know how to teach someone you don't answer. Because at first you want recorded audio file. Then you say not clear enough, video file. Not clear enough, transcript. After transcript, read, share, someone not clear enough, short note. What else you want? But it's okay to ask when you understand. Because if you don't ask, like I said, there is no condition for me to share. So the condition will come on its own. So different stages of evolution of Dhamma. Because our Kayanamita, we already evolved very, very far. Do you understand? A lot of Kayamita used to tell me, "Brother Theo, we follow you so long, that's why we can understand you." But those who are new, they show Mong Cha Cha. Where they come, they are so alien to all this. You ask Jayanta the first two lessons, it was so heavy, but lucky for him, he has the faith. Then third lesson differently, he said, "Brother Theo, what you share actually is very, very obvious, common sense, very clear. How come people cannot understand?" The truth is, people cannot understand. And that is the truth. Because hardly anybody teach this way. They never hear this before. It's just like the Buddha's advice. If you understand the law of karma, will you ever dare to break that law? You will never. But because living beings don't understand the Dhamma, that's why they get into trouble. They created all the karmic friction through delusion, through ignorance, and they get themselves entangled with life, and they cannot come out of it. That's why they suffer. Then only they seek help. First to seek is doctor, psychiatrist, psychologist. Then after that, sensei, medium. Then all the other type of cure. Finally, people tell them, "You go to religion." Then they come to religion. But most of the time, when you need something so badly, only you seek. Very difficult for you to develop the understanding. You should seek while you are young, while you still have the life to actually develop the understanding. And now you are not too old. Why? Mahathir 94, still actively becoming PM. So compared to him, we dare not say we are old. You know? True or not? Huh? So never believe that you are old. Your mind never old. Never get old. You believe or not? Because there is no age. Only the deluded mind grows old. But a lot of people say as you grow old, you develop more wisdom. You agree or not? Not necessary at all. A lot of people develop more knowledge. Then after that, they develop something else. Neither wisdom nor knowledge. So that one depends on karma. But if you have the understanding, the mind never dies. The mind is eternal. There is a hymn, isn't it? Buddhist hymn. Mind never die, although we live. Yeah lah, life never die. Oh, not mind ah. Oh, life. Oh. So can replace or not? No, the true one is mind never die. It's not life never die. Within life, so many die. A lot of death, isn't it? Why you say life never die? It's the mind that never die. Mind never die, although we live. That is the true mind. The mundane mind, split second, is gone. You call that die or cease or disappear. That mind also never die because it's energy. How can energy die? Do you understand? Okay, we better do the sharing. Sharing of marriage. Then we transfer merit, then you can make your aspiration. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditwa chirang rakantu loka sasana itawata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sapa sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo devo wasatukalena sasa sampati hetu ca fito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to the worthy ones and Lord Buddha. Then we will end. Before I forget, there are two new books just came out. Those who didn't attend the gathering of Kayamita, you can collect them here. The blue book and the yellow book. These two are very good. They are as good as the lesson 75. So you can have them while you are going back. You can collect them here. If you need some more, you let Padma Sri know and she can get it for you. Okay. So yeah, the new people, you give them the book on meditation. And the seminar book you still have. The seminar book and the meditation book. The essential Dhamma you have also can ask Mi Fong to bring it out.
Thank you.
Thank you.